Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We have so many blessings for which to give thanks to God on this Thanksgiving Day, and of course, not only today, but every day of our lives. I'm sure you've heard it expressed probably many times before, but it's worth repeating again because so often we easily forget the truth that we live at a time and in a place, in a country, where God's material blessings are more abundant than ever before and than anywhere else on earth. We don't have time to list all of the blessings with which God has blessed us in our lives, but just really quickly, think for a minute about all of the conveniences that you make use of in the average 24-hour period of your life. Think about all the technology that we have at our fingertips that didn't even exist just a couple of years or a couple of decades ago. And then all the many other things that we use and enjoy each day, again, which so often we don't even think for a split second about. We just simply take them for granted. On this Thanksgiving Day, maybe you'll be going home or to a relative's house and enjoying a big meal with a turkey and all the fixings. But even if you're not preparing for that kind of a large meal, I'm sure at least you'll be able to look forward to what we call a good square meal, and perhaps multiple meals throughout the rest of this day. And then after the main meal, you'll be able to sit down on a piece of cushioned, comfortable furniture. You'll be able to select from an overwhelming array of different TV programs and movies available on either over the airwaves or cable or various streaming services. If it starts to get a little bit chilly in your house, you can just go over to the thermostat and crank up the heat a few notches until it gets warm and toasty for you. And if perhaps you regret that you have only this one day off from work and then right away tomorrow you have to go back to the daily grind of your job, at least you have the comfort of knowing that that work will bring in the money that you need to sustain a comfortable lifestyle for you. Even if it's not a lifestyle of great wealth and abundance, at least it's more than enough to cover your basic needs. And so we have every motive today, this Thanksgiving Day, for joining with the writer of Psalm 116 in asking in verse 12, "How can I repay the Lord for all the good that he has done to me?" We sincerely want to know. We're so full of thanks to God for his blessings to us that we want to know, how can we show our thanks to him? It's obvious that God has done so much for us. And what can we do for him in response? Well, the writer of Psalm 116 helps us out with some suggestions. And the first suggestion that he gives comes as something of a surprise to us. He urges us to take the cup of salvation. In other words, to receive the eternal salvation that God offers to us through Jesus. And now what's surprising about this suggestion is that this first thing that we're urged to do in order to thank God for all of his many blessings to us is simply to sit back and receive another blessing from him. We repay the Lord for all his blessings by simply receiving another blessing. And in fact, it's the greatest blessing of all. If we think about that question of how to repay the Lord, receiving another blessing from him doesn't really seem to be much of a repayment in the way that we usually think of it, does it? Think about if somebody gives you $100 and you say, "Wow, that's really generous of you. Is there anything that I can do for you?" And he replies, "Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, if you wouldn't mind, I'd appreciate it very much if you would take this brand new Lamborghini for me." So it is with our God. In return for all of the rich and generous gifts that he showers upon us, God would like nothing more for us than to simply receive another gift from him, the gift of salvation. foremost thing that God seems to want in return for all of the blessings that He has given to us is an opportunity for Him to do another, even greater thing for us. So that is indeed a surprise to us. We see here in these words from Psalm 116 a thrilling glimpse into the nature of our God. In our world today, we're simply not really used to people doing good things for us without some kind of selfish motive in their heart. If a person does something good for us, especially if it's a total stranger, it's almost natural for us to ask, what's he after? Or what's her angle? For example, if political office seekers do charitable work, we know that the motivation is often in order to earn more votes for themselves. We tend to view most offers that seem too good to be true in that same kind of way. Where's the hidden string that's attached? Or where is the fine print that gives some other kind of qualification? But this morning, in the words of this psalm, we realize that God is not like that. He is love. He has absolutely no selfish motivation for all the love that He showers upon us. He loves us so that He can love us even more. He is good to us for no other reason than that He might be even better to us. All the blessings that God has bestowed upon us this past year have this purpose, so that we might be the recipients of God's blessings for endless years to come in the future, for eternity in heaven. That, ultimately, is what God is after. That is the repayment that God wants, if we can even call it repayment, of course. As the Bible points out elsewhere, the goodness of God is meant to lead us to repentance, to repentance in the broad sense, of course, sorrow for our sins, turning away from our sins, but also especially to faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin, which results in eternal life with God in heaven. God wants nothing more desperately from you and from me than this, that we accept and enjoy this blessing from Him. And so as we think about all the blessings from God to us this past year, and we ask ourselves this question, how can I repay the Lord for all the good He has done for me? We can do no better than to answer with the psalmist, I will take the cup of salvation. That really is the best way that we can show our thanks to God. And then in these verses, the psalm writer also has a couple of other suggestions for how we can repay the Lord for all His blessings to us. And these additional suggestions seem to be a little bit more in line with what we would typically think of when we think about repaying someone for the goodness that they have done, because they ask us to do something. They sound a bit more like repayment for services that have been rendered. So in the words of the psalm, we see these additional suggestions. First, I will call on the name of the Lord, and I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. In other words, in order to show our thanks to God, we're instructed, first of all, to pray to God and to worship Him, and second, to resolve to do certain things for God, and then carry out our resolutions to do those things. And so as we hear those instructions for how to thank God, we think, that's more like it. Now I have the chance to do something to show my thanks for God, however small it may be in comparison with all of God's blessings to me. But it helps to satisfy some sense of obligation and duty to repay that we have and that we feel. Or perhaps if we're a little bit more of a cynical kind of person, we might be tempted to think when we hear these additional instructions, yes, there it is. God does indeed want something from me. Even God's love is not entirely unconditional. I knew there had to be a catch to it all along, a hidden string attached. And in fact, there is indeed a sense in which we can say that God does want something from us. that God loved us for a reason. Not only does the Bible point out that it's God's will that all people be saved, but it also says, this is God's will that you be sanctified. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross, not only so that God can give us everlasting life with him in heaven, but also, in Titus chapter 2, it says, to purify for himself a people who are his own chosen people, eager to do good works. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died in our place and was raised again. Yes, God does want something from us. But again, the big question is why? Why does he want it? Why does he want us to call on his name and to fulfill our vows to him in the presence of all his people? Now, we may guess that God wants us to praise and to serve him because that pleases him. It's our way of acknowledging his kingship, his lordship, his authority, and acknowledging our own status as his servants and his subjects. But that can't be the entire reason. Because God is a king and the Lord of all things anyway, whether or not we acknowledge it. And God is also quite different from us. God is immune to the human desire that we have, the desire to be appreciated, to be flattered, to be given credit for the good that we do. So why does God want our praise and service? Why does God want us to call on his name and to fulfill our vows to him in the presence of all his people? We can answer that with a truth that we learned way back in the days of our confirmation instruction. We learned then that the good works that we produce in our lives spring from faith, that our sanctified life is the result of our justification, the result of being declared righteous in God's sight through faith in Jesus as our Savior. And so in the terms of our text from Psalm 116, that means that we can call on the name of the Lord and that we can fulfill our vows to him in the presence of all his people only if we first have taken the cup of salvation by believing in Jesus as our Savior. And so one of the chief values of our good works is not merely the specific good that they achieve on this earth, but above all the fact that they demonstrate that we do have faith in Jesus as our Savior. So again, the question, why does God want us to call on his name and fulfill our vows to him? Because that is conclusive evidence that we have done what God wants more than anything else for us, that we have taken the cup of salvation, that we have received from him the gift of eternal life that he offers through Jesus. God wants our worship, our praise, our service, our good works, our time, our talents, our treasures, not because of any self-interest or need that he has, not for his sake, not because he needs or wants them, but for our sake. God wants our praise and our service to him in order to reassure us that he has saved us, to reassure us that we are his children, that he is at work in our hearts. And so when God tells us to repay him for all his blessings, to call on his name, to fulfill our vows to him, it isn't particularly the repayment that God is interested in. It's us and our hearts that God is interested in. God has our eternal welfare foremost in his mind. We give to the Lord not because he needs it, but actually because we need it. We work for the mission of the church, not because the church can't get along without us, but because we need the church. We make sacrifices, not because those sacrifices are indispensable to the world around us, but because they're indispensable to us. We do good works not merely because of the wonders these good works may achieve in society, but also because of the wonders of God's power that those good works reveal in us. So on Thanksgiving Day, thinking of all of the myriad ways that God has blessed us, we ask, how can I repay the Lord for all the good he has done to me? And the answer that God wants is twofold. One, believe in Jesus and be saved. And two, serve the Lord. That is how the Lord wants us to repay him for all the good he has done for us. And in any case, it's really he who gives to us, not we to him. It's he who serves us, not we who serve him. And so we can only simply say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen.